This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
So I'd like you to imagine the scene. You slept in, so you're late for somewhere that you really need to be. You go to leave the house and you've lost your keys. You manage to find them after knocking your coffee all over the floor. You have no time to clean it up, and then your child decides they need to go to the toilet, and you're really hoping it's not a number two because you know it's going to take a long time. You finally get out the house, and on the way, there's roadworks. You're stuck in traffic, and your petrol light goes on. Every traffic light that you pass seems to go red. You eventually get to where you need to be, and you can't find a parking space. When you finally arrive at where you needed to be, you just want the day to end and to go home. Now, can anyone relate to this situation? So just humour me for a second and just put up your hand if you can relate to this situation in any way at all, so I know I'm not the only one here. Excellent. I wonder, in these situations, whether you've caught yourself thinking or even saying, God, where are you? Is God really at work? And God, if you're always at work in our lives, how do we recognize this when everything else around us seems to be going wrong or seems to tell us a different story? Whilst the example that I gave just a minute ago was a trivial one, many of us grapple with these questions. When we're faced with illness or bereavement or challenges at work or at home, we can ask ourselves whether God is really at work. When life doesn't make sense, do you turn to God and his people, or do you turn away? This morning, we're going to be looking at the book of Esther. And my hope and prayer is that you let the book of Esther encourage you that God is always present, even though it doesn't always seem that way. Let us trust and obey, learning about ourselves along the way, just as Esther did, and watch God silently weave all events for his glory. The story of Esther invites us to see that God can and does work in the mess of our lives, despite our moral ambiguity and despite the challenges that we face. In the story of Esther, God is at work through the dark days of Esther's people. He uses their faithful obedience, and he helped them to secure victory. Yet in this book, we see God revealed through circumstances. Unlike the rest of the Bible, the book shows God's work indirectly. God never appears or is even mentioned in the book of Esther. But God's influence permeates the story. The book demonstrates how God works in the lives of his people. So this morning, I would like to take you on a journey to explore these themes and how they're relevant to us today. And I'd like to look at how God worked through Esther's dark days. He worked through her obedience, and he worked through her victories. But first, let me tell you a bit more about this story of Esther. Esther is filled with themes that we are faced with in today's society: vengeance, violence, power, racial and gender conflicts, the misuse of sex and alcohol. It's a scandalous story, and these contemporary themes make it seem a bit like a modern parable. And I think this story has much to teach us today. With an exotic opening, the book quickly draws us into its extravagant, dangerous, and dark world of intrigue into the royal palace. In this world, failure to heed the call of the drunken and lustful king could mean banishment or even death. An all-male cast of officials do the king's bidding and tell him how wonderful he is. Esther is an unlikely heroine. She is female, she's young, foreign, and an orphan. Now, the king had a tantrum with his queen and set up a beauty contest to find a replacement. Esther, we're told, had a lovely figure and was beautiful. So, despite her lack of status, after a long set of bizarre rituals and preparations, Esther wins this contest. She becomes queen and finds herself in a position where the future of her entire people is in her hands. And so, it is this unlikely character of Esther who takes courage. And aided by a providential chain of circumstances and an excellent wine list, rescues the Jewish nation from genocide. In this exotic, powerful, and upside-down story through which I'd like to explore these three themes, that God is at work in our dark days. He uses our faithful obedience, and in him we can secure victory. So, when thinking about our dark days, God is sovereign, even when life doesn't make sense. Life can be hard, difficult times do happen, and pain cannot be avoided. A few weeks ago, Matt explored this topic through the book of Ecclesiastes, looking at how, although terrible things can happen, and we may never know why, we can't control what happens to us. But we can, however, control our response. So we were encouraged to take time to notice the things in our life that we can enjoy. In chapter 3 of Esther, we learn of Haman's evil conspiracy against the Jews. The setting is the Persian Empire, sometime after the exile. Although a number of Jews had returned home to Jerusalem, other communities had stayed, living among the nations where they had settled. They tried to remain their laws and their customs, but this caused conflict around them. Esther's uncle and adopted father, Mordecai, refused to bow down to the officials. And we're not told why, but we assume it's out of respect for the law, worshipping God alone. Now, this got the officials really angry, and Haman in particular becomes very agitated. Luckily, Mordecai overhears Haman's plot against the Jews and insists that Esther should approach the king and try to intervene. Unfortunately for Esther, this was very dangerous, as in this society, you were forbidden to enter the king's presence until or unless he had asked you to be. So I'd really like you to open up your Bibles at this point in Esther. And if you don't have a Bible, could you please put up your hand and the welcome team will come and give you one. And if you don't own a Bible, then please do take it away and have it as a gift from us. I would like to encourage you to keep your Bibles open in Esther, because this morning I'm going to be going through a few of the chapters, so I'd like you to be able to flick back and forth when needed to. So we're going to be looking first at chapter 4, and we're going to be looking at verses 12 to 16. And it's in these verses we pick up Mordecai's words. "Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Now imagine that challenge that Esther is facing here. Her own fate and that of all her people is resting on the unlikely possibility of convincing the king to go against his favourite officials. Yet we see God's hand at work in this passage in placing Esther in this position, as Mordecai says, for such a time as this. Now, the dark days we face may not always be dramatic as the story of Esther, but we do find ourselves in challenging situations. This is a picture of me when I was younger, and you may notice, if you can see, that there's a lot of plaster cast on me. I was born with a dislocated hip, which meant I spent a lot of time in hospital and had many operations throughout my childhood. However, after many operations and excellent work of surgeons, everything settled down and I was able to do everything that a child is able to do. However, when I came to university, in my first year, I'd started to experience problems again, and my hip got progressively worse, which meant I wasn't able to walk very far. I had to give up a number of things that I really enjoyed doing, in particular sports, and I became in constant pain. My consultant told me that I needed to have a hip replacement, but it wasn't really ideal for somebody in their 20s. And as a woman of childbearing age, the consultant said to me that it was better to wait to have children first, as a hip replacement could result in complications in pregnancy and childbirth. So clearly this was a big worry to me, as you can imagine. Now, having children, that was another tricky subject for us, because Mike and I had been trying to conceive for children for a long time, but it just wasn't happening. And it seemed like nothing was going to go to plan. And I found myself asking, God, where are you in my situation? I found it really hard, but I learned a lot. I learned that I had to rely on God. I learned I had to stop trying to do things on my own and in my own strength. I learned about not giving in to negative thought and behaviour patterns. But I didn't learn these things on my own. I turned towards my church family and I asked for prayer on a Sunday. I asked for prayer in my small group. And I asked my friends to journey with me through these struggles. Ultimately, I learned to trust God more, even when things weren't happening the way I hoped or the way I had planned. Eventually, I did fall pregnant, and during my pregnancy and afterwards, virtually all my hip problems just stopped, just disappeared. And now I have 2 children and have been able to do all the things that I really hoped I'd be able to do, and my hip has never got in the way or stopped me from doing those things. However, just recently, my hip started to trouble me again. And my initial reaction was confusion and sadness, asking God, why? What's happened? What's gone wrong? It was a reminder of what had happened and what it was like in the past. and what it would be like in the future, with that fear of how debilitating it was. I was scared and confused, but I wasn't angry with God. It has been a real reminder of God's grace and the challenge, the continued challenge of trusting God through difficult circumstances. Now, each of you here today will have your own stories about challenging circumstances affecting your lives. And one thing I really want to draw your attention to is Esther's reaction to hearing the difficult news. Before Esther made her decision, she called to her faithful friends, her family, to join her on a 3-day fast. She urgently needed direction, and she turns immediately to God and asks those friends, those faith family, to help her. So when we are faced with difficult challenge, when we get difficult news, what is our immediate response? Do we go towards God, removing distractions and entering a place of spiritual growth, following the example of Esther? Or do we run in the opposite direction? Do we turn to our church family to help us? Or do we isolate ourselves and turn away? The second point that I want to draw out in the story of Esther is that God works through our obedience. Throughout this story, Esther gets on with what is required of her. So let's have a look in chapter 2, specifically at verses 8 and 9. When the king's order and edict had been proclaimed, many young women were brought to the citadel of Susa and put under the care of Haggai. Esther also was taken to the king's palace and entrusted to Haggai, who had charge of the harem. She pleased him and won his favor. Immediately, he provided her with beauty treatments and special food. He assigned her to 7 female attendants selected from the king's palace and moved her and her attendants into the best place in the harem. Now, it probably wasn't Esther's life plan to end up in the king's harem, being prepared, ready for the king's sexual pleasures. Yet she is obedient, and therefore she strikes up positive relationship with Haggai. And he was in charge, and Esther does everything required of her to be presentable for the king without complaining. And after becoming queen, when Esther is asked, she goes to the king at the risk of her own life to speak to him about Haman's conspiracy. Esther's obedience in this series of horrific circumstances is outstanding. Now note that I'm not suggesting Esther was perfect. Esther uses her own sexuality to influence the king, and her use of alcohol, getting everyone drunk to manipulate the outcomes, does not sit well with us. This is not how we would advise people to behave, even if they did find themselves in unfortunate circumstances. But the story of Esther is not putting Esther forward as a moral example, as if God endorses all of her behaviours. Instead, she and Mordecai are put forward as models of trust and hope when things get really bad. Now, when I finished college, I really wanted to take a year out, and I wanted to do something for God, and an opportunity to came up to work in Wakefield to be in a creative arts team. This was a really big step for me, and I felt like it was the right thing to do, as originally I'm from down south. So I was originally going to Brighton University and I had deferred a place so I could take my year out. And during this year, I felt like that God was really speaking to me about my passions, about my choice of career, and what I should pursue in life. So after a lot of thought and a lot of prayer, I decided to pull out of university and reapply to do something else. So, no more sports science, hello community and youth studies. Funnily enough, all the courses in youth and community studies were all in the north. And Leeds is where I ended up. And this was actually much to the dislike of my family. It was a difficult decision with a lot of pressure applied. But I made the decision on what I felt like God was calling me to do and what God was saying. And ultimately, my obedience meant I was placed where God wanted me to be, here in Leeds, married to my amazing husband, Mike, and having my two amazing boys. What decisions are you facing where you have the choice of obedience to God's call? As with Esther, sometimes obedience means a difficult route, a higher level of risk, or resisting pressure from family or friends. Sometimes we must stand in courage, even when it's not popular to do so. Esther acted in obedience, and by doing so, she saved a nation. How obedient are we? Now, I don't have time today to explain all the details of how the story ends, but I really would encourage you to read it. Only 6 chapters, and it's full of passion and intrigue. It's a really good read. And in planning this, I fell in love with the story of Esther even more than I had before. But to summarise the story, it ends up with everything upside down and inside out. To give you a flavour, turn to chapter 8 and we'll look at verses 15 and 17. When Mordecai left the king's presence, he was wearing royal garments of blue and white, a large crown of gold and a purple robe of fine linen. And the city of Susa held a joyous celebration. For the Jews, it was a time of happiness and joy, gladness and honour. In every province and in every city to which the edict of the king came, there was joy and gladness among the Jews, with feasting and celebrating. And many people of other nationalities became Jews because fear of the Jews had seized them. The Jews, who were supposed to be annihilated, ended up defeating their enemies. Mordecai, who was supposed to be executed, becomes one of the top officials. And Haman, previously the most favoured official, is executed instead. Esther is foreign, female orphan. She becomes queen and heroine, saving her people. I wonder what stories you might have in your life of God turning everything upside down. In what ways have you achieved victories? For me, one of my biggest victories is being able to forgive my dad. I grew up without a dad. He left when I was 4, and he had no involvement in my life. There was a lot of hurt and a lot of anger, but God really took me on a journey of forgiveness. And I really did learn that nothing is unforgivable when you allow God into your situation and you trust him. I had to let go of a lot of pain and a lot of anger and bitterness. The victory was not being consumed by pain and anger, but being able to forgive my dad, which has now led to a relationship with him. This does not eliminate the pain or the suffering that happened or impacted on my life and my family's life, but it still represents a victory in that God has turned it upside down. The story of Esther invites us to see that God can and does work in the real mess and moral ambiguity of humanity. God uses faithful people to accomplish his purpose and his purposes. So the book of Esther asks us to be willing to trust God, even when we can't see him working. So when facing a challenge, do we turn towards God, removing distractions and entering a place of spiritual growth, just as Esther did? Or do we run in the opposite direction? Do we turn to our church family and our friends, or do we isolate ourselves? And what are the stories that are in our lives of God turning everything upside down? In what ways have you achieved victories? Esther acted in obedience, and in doing so, she saved a nation. How obedient are we? Let the book of Esther encourage you that God is always present, even though it doesn't always seem like that. Let us trust and obey, learning much about ourselves along the way, just as Esther did, and watch God silently weave all events for his glory. God is at work in our dark days. God uses our faithful obedience, and in him we can secure victory. So we stand. So I just want to pray for us and give us an opportunity to respond to these things. And I'm going to ask us just to let's put out our hands, if you can, as a sign that you want to receive from Jesus this morning. I feel like this morning is a real significant time for us where we have that space to respond. And when I was praying this morning, I felt like God was saying that in order for you to respond, there doesn't have to be a specific thing that I have said or someone else has said. God is interested in speaking to you and wants you to respond to what he has to say to you. So, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We say, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. I want you to stay in this moment of just receiving from God. And I'd like to encourage some people to come forward this morning with specific things that I feel like God was speaking about. And I really feel like there are people here this morning that feel like they are in the dark days and they just want to see him and they just don't. And I feel like God really wants to say to you, just turn towards him. Turn towards your church family and don't isolate yourself. So if that's you, then I'd really encourage you to step out in faith and come to the front this morning, because we'd really like to pray for you. Also, I feel like there's some people that really find it hard just to trust God in their circumstances, especially if it doesn't fit with what you thought or what your plans are. And again, God is saying, just let me into your situation. Trust me. I've got you. And I felt the phrase that Mordecai says to Esther, such a time as this is really important for people this morning. And I feel like he's saying, this is your opportunity and this is your time to respond, because he has so much for you. So I'd really encourage you to keep engaging with what God's doing. And if you feel like God has speaking to you through these words that I specifically said this morning, would you come forwards and some people will pray for you? And we're also going to pray for Zoe and John as well. So if Zoe and John want to come forward too, and we'll pray for them. David, so I'm just going to, Holy Spirit, just we ask for more of you. We ask for more of your presence. Keep speaking to us, Father.